The sermon today is based on a scripture in chapter 4 of Philippians. And Philippians is a wonderful, wonderful letter from Paul to the people there in this place, Philippi. And the word joy, or a form of it in one way or another, either joy or rejoice, is found in many different parts of this letter. And writes them is that they supported him financially in his mission work. And he received money from the church to do what he's doing. And he was just so appreciative and rejoicing in that. That's a valid way, right? To be thankful and to receive that kind of support, kind of points out to us, you know, who often give perhaps toward missions in some kind of a way, but maybe we don't appreciate the impact that are caring for the work that they're doing in financially and also in prayer or writing a letter, you know, that it has a big impact. And it would be really good for us to think about that in those terms when we hear the names of our missionaries and in general when we're giving, the impact that it really has. There's rejoicing on the part of the people that receive it, not because so much that they get the money so they could use that. That's important, but it's really the connection and the caring of the people that were giving that money to them that he's focusing on here. And so that's really what it all comes down to. It's the heart. And go through the whole letter. It won't take too long just to review some of the places where he speaks about joy to the people there, the brothers and sisters in Philippi. In the first chapter, if you go from 3 to 11 and you really want to memorize some scripture again, you know, this is another really good section of scripture to read because it's incredibly, incredibly joyful, incredibly thankful and generous. It's just an amazing thing, and you can do that on your own time. But just let me point out a couple of things. He says in verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. My prayer is made in joy, right? So if you're like me, you know, we're going day to day, there's things going on, but let's think about joy, right? Let's think about this joyfulness that we have, that we so often don't express because we're heavy in our thoughts. We're heavy in our hearts on different things, but let's read this and accept and receive the joy that Paul has in his connection with the believers in Jesus. And he says, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. So they're partners in the gospel. It's not just him doing it, but they're partnering together, right? And he says, it's right in verse 7, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I told you in my heart. You know, isn't that a wonderful, there's the heart again that God wants. All partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and the confirmation of the gospel. And he goes on from there, but to hold people in our hearts, you know, that's so important for us as a church. We need to be people that love from the heart, that have joy in our hearts, that express this kind of a connection with one another. And one of the things that has slowly evolved in my life, and I think probably for your own case too, is that this long journey that we've been in the pandemic, you begin after all this time, and it just seems to continue on. You begin to reflect on the people in your lives, and through Jesus and the effect that he has on us, you have a deeper appreciation of them that you normally wouldn't have. And it comes through those hard times. It comes as a result of experiencing things that are not easy in life, which shows us the wisdom of rejoice always. Again, I will say rejoice because God is at work in us during these times in a beautiful, powerful way to help us to be agents of his joy, right? You and I are agents of his joy. It lives in our hearts and we are there for going to share that with other people. We live for Christ. And then we become his people that live for others, right? To really just focus on that. So let me go on to another one later in the chapter. In verse 18, what then? only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. That Christ is proclaimed, that is what I rejoice in. Any kind of situation, no matter what it is, I rejoice because Christ is proclaimed. He's in prison when he writes this, and he's saying, I rejoice. So always, I rejoice always. He's living it. He's telling them, this is what it is. And I'm even happy that I'm here because it is resulting in other people seeing that I am suffering for the gospel. And they are in turn then encouraged somehow to do the same, to live for Christ, to claim his name. And that is what he wants to do. He's not afraid of saying, be like me, because he is so immersed in Christ. It's really Christ and him speaking and saying, this is what I want for you to do. Jesus is talking to me this. This is what we need. And so it follows right after that into the next section. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that it will result that this connection and the prayers that are going up are going to result in his deliverance. And he means it in this way. Either I'm going to be delivered out of prison, or I'm going to be delivered up and I'll see my Lord in heaven. So I'll be delivered from this imprisonment here, or I will be delivered into heaven. I will die, lose my life for the sake of Christ. But that to me is no loss, because I will be in heaven with my God. So he's delivered no matter what happens. It's not dependent on whether his life here on earth ends or not. For to me, in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ, and die is gain. This is the whole otherness of Jesus Christ, that he has that effect on. To live is Christ, and to die is gain. And then later on, verse 25, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. And so he is living so that they will have progress and joy in their faith. Right? Are you slowly beginning to hear how joy is beginning here to pick up momentum, and we're hearing it over and over again? And we come away not just like learning the specifics of this letter, but to hear the whole, that joy is what God wants for you and me today, and what he wants for our lives every day, right? The next one. I'm looking that you are standing firm in one spirit, he says in verse 27. Standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And he goes on into chapter 2 with the same thought. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and one mind. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And so how is this going to continue? How is this joy going to be completed? By the people in the Philippian church being of one mind and one heart. He's saying, my joy will be complete when I see you getting along. So we see that it's growing, and God is building this structure in this word and helping us to be able to see the implications of it as well. And it also emphasizes the importance for us to take this really, really seriously. And if we do not do that, then we are not living as the Church of Jesus Christ. No one is allowed in the Church of Christ to say, these people I can get along with, but this one, no way, but I'll still go to the same church with them. It doesn't work. We're not of the same mind. We're not the same mind as Jesus. We're not humbling ourselves as Jesus humbles himself. And if we're not there, then God will continue to work on us, and we have to pray for that to come about. But that is one of the biggest things that people point out about the church today, when they see people complaining and at odds with one another, where there's not the same mind. And so what we need there is God's help. Right? It's not like I can try harder. It's that I need to humble myself in prayer. I need to humble myself in God's word. I need to have the Holy Spirit at work in my heart so that I am not at odds with my brother or sister. And we all have somebody like that in our lives, don't we? So the best way to experience joy and to have God happy and to other people who are involved in our church who are seeking that, is for us to pray for God to bring about that oneness of mind in our church. And it starts with each one of us. And it's not going to be overnight. Sometimes it is, but it's this process that he's saying, complete my joy of being the same mind. So he's writing them to thank them for their support, but at the same time, he's teaching them, you have something that's going on there that needs attention. And then he goes on at verse 17 of chapter 2. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. So there's this mutual joyfulness and love for one another. It's been a while, but I was a high school kid once. I don't remember joy being the foremost thing on my mind. When we're young, the things that we are maybe not so young, but we have our minds on other things. But it's good that we learn this early. If you want to be truly happy and joyful, you need Jesus Christ. Think about what he has done and what this man, Paul, is teaching here. And it's the word of God teaching us these things. But he's saying, I am glad and rejoice with you. Likewise, you should be glad and rejoice with me. It's a mutual rejoicing with each other. And that's what we need to emphasize in our church. It goes on a little bit later in verse 29 of chapter 2. So receive him. He's talking about Epaphroditus. So receive him in the Lord with all joy and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. And so this rejoicing is the church receiving a brother in Christ who's going to come to them. Right. And so there's this interrelational teaching that he's doing for this. And then in verse 1 of chapter 3, finally, my brothers, returns in what it means to be a Christian and living for God completely, and as Christ as his Savior, straining to the goal of citizenship in heaven. And that brings us into chapter 4 today. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and I long for, my crown, joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Can you listen to that? My brothers, whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. These are words we want to be incorporating in our church. We want to be using those, right? I mean, what it takes is abandoning all of your inhibitions. It means abandoning all of your fears of feeling funny to be able to use that kind of a language. But man, you are in the kingdom of God now, and this is the language we speak. Beloved, my dear ones, right? Whom I love and I long for. When we get to this point, when Jesus has that effect in us and we say, I long to see you. I'm so happy I'm back among you. You know, and when people are sick and they get COVID, wow, it's so good to see you again, or someone is away, or coming back, or even a week, or maybe even a day. It grows, it depends on what God puts in your heart, but he calls them my joy and crown. You know, this is not just for him to talk to those people. This is for you and for me to say to other people in our church. It's not just for reading purposes. It's for acting out in our lives and using it, my joy and my crown. Stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. Stand firm in your belief and your walk in him. That's what he's writing them about. And then he goes on to the next part and listen to how he applies this. He intimated it at the beginning that there was a dissension. There was a problem between people in the church. And he says, I entreat Theodia and entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Two sisters were at odds with each other. And he's talking to them and mentioning them and saying, I heard about this and they need to be reconciled. Titus most probably that he would help these women who have labored side by side with him in the gospel with Clement and the rest of fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. They were actually working together, but they're at odds about something. They're not of one mind and one heart. And so he's saying that needs to change, right? That needs to change. Rejoicing in the Lord, right? And that is going to help you to say, what was that problem we had between us? I don't know. I don't remember it either. Let's have a great life and rejoice, right? That's what Jesus does when he's real in the church and in our lives. It's like, I don't even remember what happened. Let's just move on and do the task that we were called to and love one another. My dear sister, my joy and crown, my beloved. And oftentimes, the reason that we don't move on like that is because we're holding on to our opinion and we're holding on to a judgment that is right. It's not right. And so what does she say at the end of that? And I will say rejoice. And I think that one of the reasons that that is so important is because if we don't, then we are going to slip into these old ways and become that old person and not remember that we have a beloved person, a beloved sister, we have a beloved brother, that we are one in Christ, that we have the same mind as Christ. And there isn't any time in this world, there's no time to be wasted on such things because there's too much to be done in this world for the sake of Christ and proclaim. And that time, that those kind of thoughts are going to be wasted time. So rejoicing in the Lord is the emphasis. And we have to help one another in that. We remind each other with our rejoicing. We learn from one another. There was a meeting yesterday at OCMA. They met in our church building yesterday for the delegates meeting. And it was a very blessed time, you know. And there's one pastor, Pastor Simon Lee. And he's from Boone Church. I think maybe some of you know him. But I'm always impressed. And I will learn so much from him that people will say something, you know, about the things that he has talked about planning and things like that. And, you know, sometimes they're not in agreement or it's nothing bad really, but they might say, did you forget about this aspect? And he always says, thank you. Thank you for saying that to me. Thank you. I needed that reminder. Thank you. I needed to hear that. I needed to know that there is something that I missed and I can make it even better when I take your suggestion. You know, and I can learn to, you know, grow in that area, right? We have this kind of a feeling like, oh no, I missed something. It's going to make me look bad or something like that. And he's always ready to accept it and say, thank you. Thank you for telling me that. I'll make a mark of that and make an improvement. And that's the kind of thing that happens, right? We encourage one another and we also humble ourselves to receive the things that people speak to us about. And that's what he's talking about. So let me just emphasize before we move on, this translation of verse 5 is, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, if you're really interested, you want to take a closer look at different meanings of this word reasonableness be known to everyone. This is the one that I replaced today with magnanimous. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. And the other version that I read was, you're a big heart. So you can take a look at that info, but I'm satisfied with the big heart. I like that. I really, because that's very real. And I think it's kind of going the same. Some other translations say gentle, let your gentleness be known. And gentleness is a wonderful, kind word too. I mean, it's great, you know. But there's a lot in words in the Bible. And God talks to us in different ways at different times. And so take a look at that. He goes and says this, the Lord is at hand. That means the Lord's second coming is imminent. It's coming. The Lord is at hand. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That was one of the verses we had read today. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. So there's that word, heart. To guard our heart, to stand watch over our hearts. Peace guards our hearts there. We come to, and how do we get that? Through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And then he goes into this section, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So let's do this. You guys in front row three, you're going to be true, whatever is true. Okay? Simon, Christine, and Marcus. Hi, Marcus. And Maris, and Darren, you're going to be honorable. And then, and Evan, you're going to be just. And Kid, Caitlin, and Lee Chan, you can be commendable. All right? And then I'll finish off. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So let's start off with you guys, okay? You got the word you're going to say? Whatever is pure. I mean, whatever is true, okay? Go ahead. Whatever is true, you just speak it out. Can you speak it out, those words? Whatever is true. There you go. Next one. Whatever is honorable. Whatever is, do you remember? Whatever is just. Back row, can you guys speak it out? Whatever is just. Maris, Aaron, Marcus. Can't hear you guys. Esther and you and Evan are whatever is pure. Wait a minute. We are true, honorable. Then you guys be just and change it. You guys be pure.
We're pure.
Yeah. I know I'm changing it. Because I missed those guys back there. I don't know, like I missed that. Okay. So we got the front row here, true, honorable, just, pure. And then you guys can be lovely.
Yes.
Okay, whatever is lovely. And then we have whatever is commendable. Okay? You got the idea now?
Yes.
Okay, let's start again. Okay, 1, 2, 3.
Whatever is true,
is pure.
Whatever is lovely.
Whatever is commendable.
Good. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Let's do it one more time, okay?
Yes.
Let's stand up when you say it, okay? When you say it only, okay? 1, 2, 3.
Whatever is pure.
Whatever is commendable.
Good, good job. If there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Can we remember that? Amen? Amen? That's the way that, you know, the kids learn these kind of verses too. They have to do some kind of a fun kind of a skit or something like that to remember. But it really works. Remember scripture like that. But it really sticks. And the thing about God's word is this is kind of a game, but the power of it is real. And it remains in you that way. And you're going to remember that. And you may just be walking down the street in New York or Brooklyn or here in, you know, in this area or something. And you're going to think about purity and you're going to think about lovely, you know, and all those things. And that is the way the Spirit of God works in us through his word. And that's the importance of it, right? So this is from God, right? These verses here. Think about these things the next time that you're at odds with somebody and you feel like complaining, right? Think about these things and make that choice and go in the other direction. Be unlike the world. Be unlike your old self or our old selves. And be the new that is found in the renewal of Jesus Christ, the power, the joy that is in Jesus. We are his agents, and these are the things we stand for. Amen? These are the things we stand for. What have you learned and received from me and heard in me? Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And then this last section, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. And then he brings in this idea that they were reviving their concern for his mission and sending money to him so he can carry on, right? They were concerned about him. We are concerned about one another. That is what we breathe and live in the Church of Grace Church. We're concerned about, you know, I have to remind myself all the time, don't think about yourself all the time. You know, if you're preparing something with a group of people or a team at the church, pray for them. You know, not, don't just pray for yourself. It's good to pray for ourselves, but think about the other people too. You know, get the directory out that Kwong has put together for us and go through it regularly to pray for people in the church. That's the way you get to know them. That's how I got to know them. I was praying for people when I first came here. I didn't even meet yet. And their names were there in front of me. And so you have to acclimate yourself and you have to involve yourself in some way to have people in your heart and get them in you so that you can be aware of them in that kind of a way, right? And then he ends this whole section here in saying, I can have abundance or I can have nothing, but I'm content. Why? Because I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Can we say that one? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This verse pulled me through a torturous, awful time in my life where I was afraid, literally afraid to get up and walk out the door. And this verse was given to me by the Lord. I'll never forget it. I can do all things through him who strengthened me. And I walked out that door with the security of knowing I can. And he proved it to me. And he always will. That is what God has done for us. So the rejoicing, really, just one last thought here, and I want to share something with Scripture. When we're talking about being joyful, we were saying last week, it's Jesus who is joy. It's not actually, he is the object that we're reaching, right? It's not joy that we're really looking to achieve or to understand. It is Jesus. And oftentimes we try to get joy and it's elusive because it can't stand on its own. Jesus gives it meaning, right? And so remember that it's Jesus Christ who is our joy. And that joy is Jesus living in us. And the other thing that I wanted to say is that even when we have these times, like joy in all circumstances, if you're going through something hard, it's not so much that you can just say, I'm really glad that I'm going through this because I'm learning joy. What you're doing is that you are learning to know what it is to be like. He suffered for our sins. And this hard times that are in our lives like that teach us to appreciate and to love Jesus more because he did that for us. Let me just read you a few words from a guy named Lightfoot who had some wonderful things to say about Philippians. He says, to all ages of the church, to our own especially, this epistle, the Philippians, reads a great lesson. While we are expending our strength on theological definitions or ecclesiastical rules, it recalls us from these distractions to the very heart and center of the gospel, the life of Christ and the life in Christ. Here is the meeting point of all of our differences, the healing of all of our feuds, the true life alike of individuals and sects and churches. Here, doctrine and practice are wedded together, for here is the creed of creeds involved in and arising out of the work of works. May God glory to his reading and be glorified through our being his agents in this world.